Podcasting across the universe. Tom and Matt are playing games when they're not in work.
Tom, Matt, Duck.
And that is a fact.
It is. Even worked in harmony there.
I don't play games in work. That would be naughty.
It would.
You get sacked for that.
You would.
They come round, see you play Minesweeper and slap you.
They would. They'd go, get off that spider solitaire, you son of a bitch. Punch you on the side of the head, and then you're gone.
Yeah. No online games for you,
No,
Matthew.
Certainly not. No free-to-play Facebook games.
Have you done that?
Not at this work. in my old job at Morrison's, there would be several times.
How could you play a game when you're at Morrison's?
Because you sneak off. There's a warehouse bathroom. You sit down. You crack out an app. You play.
Well, there's nothing wrong with playing something when you're having a poo. And
yeah, but
when you're at work,
it's
that's all right. That helps ease it out.
It does.
Play a bit of Peggle and a poo.
A friend of mine from university always used to kind of announce that he was going to the bathroom by telling us he was going to play Angry Birds. That was his code for he was going to drop the kids off of the pool.
That's how it goes, isn't it?
It is. It's how it goes. How have you been, Thomas?
Aye.
Speaking about how it goes.
Been all right, mate. Not too bad.
Not too
been
shabba.
Been some jet car stunts.
Jet car stunts?
Yeah, how about that one?
What's jet car stunts?
Well,
other than a very fun to say game, jet car stunts.
It reminds me of Trackmania. You know Trackmania?
Yes, I do know Trackmania.
Well, you get given like a course to navigate and it's a little bit different from Trackmania, as you know, there's an end goal and it's not all about the fastest time. It's although that impacts on your rating at the end of the what would you call it? It's not a race, it's a drive. It's a stunt course, basically. It's like a platform game with cars.
Interesting.
And jet car is important because.
Does it Sonic Racing Transformed?
The car, yeah, has a jet engine.
Ooh, interesting.
That you need to activate to get to certain platforms. If there's a jump, you need to use the jet engine to propel yourself enough to get over the jump. But then you might have to open up the wings of your car and glide it.
Do you mean wings like Max Tracker's red car in the 80s anime Mask, where the doors open, they fold up? Do the doors open and fold up above the car? That is all I need to know, right?
No, they're not the doors.
There's a very crude car. There's wheels and a big.
They're not wheels.
Okay,
they're the wheels. These are these little things that open out like this.
All right, so there are physical wings coming out of the side of the car.
Quite like wings.
I want to take a picture of this image. You're a professional graphic designer, and what I see before me is a work of art. So for you listening to the podcast, you can look for that on our Twitter at TMCast. It's a beautiful drawing.
Just to get across the point, Matthew.
It is. Okay, right.
It looks
so
like a load of cocks coming out of someone's eyes.
It looks like you melted down Kirby.
Yeah.
He's got little bally legs and arms, and then there are phallic-shaped thermometers stabbing into him.
I think I thrust penises into Kirby's eyes.
I think you did.
There you go.
Great. So, fun game.
Fun game. It's quite challenging, despite saying it's very easy. You know, I'm doing the very easy courses at the minute.
Yeah.
I can't say I'm finding very easy, but it's definitely a game you have to learn. In the great tradition of classic video games, you need to spend some time with it.
Interesting.
Yes, once you get the hang of it, it's...
How is the aesthetic? Are we talking
It's very basic, actually. It's just... It's 3D.
Yes, you know, so like, they are 3D models.
Imagine in your head, if you will, Trackmania, and you get a good idea what it looks like. But you're very high in the sky. You're amongst the clouds, you see.
Right.
And there's all these strange, brightly coloured, geometric, three-dimensional shapes.
Yeah.
Around.
Okay.
And a track.
Right.
So it's a little bit like Hot Wheels.
Okay.
You remember like a road and the Hot Wheels toys?
Yeah, with like loop the loops and all of this kind of stuff.
There's not been all the loops yet, to be honest. But it's like a toy box has exploded in the sky.
Oh, great. Well, that brings me on to my next question. Not a toy box turbos, though.
Not a toy box.
I would
assume a different kind of game.
By your disappointment at this game.
It's not a disappointment. I like it.
but based upon what you said before you podcasted, you're just like, oh, I've been playing some racing game, and you sounded a bit downhearted. Can I take a random stab in the dark and just say that you're blindly buying racing games now, hoping that they're over the top?
Not at all. I going into this, as I've mentioned numerous times now, it looked like Trackmania. No, it looked like Trackmania. Okay. And I
thought you
were going to
say it looked like Toy Box 2, but it wasn't.
No,
damn it.
No. When I said a toy box exploding in the sky. No, I was looking for a game that was like Trackmania. It was on offer. As I say, it was £2 and 31 pence or something like
Interesting.
That.
Interesting.
And even prestigious video game magazines like, I think, Edge have said, this is a good one.
Oh, really? Is that the direct back of box quote? This is a good one. And then they give it 1 out of 5.
It's certainly worth it.
But they mean,
money.
Like, this is a good 1 out of 5.
It's addictive, challenging.
Yeah.
It's fun. There you go. Addictive, challenging, fun. That's Jet Car Stunts. Give it a go, but expect a challenge.
Okay, great. I won't. I don't like trick games, other than trials. I like trials.
Yeah, I guess you could compare it to trials. You've got like a course you have to get through, and yeah, you have to use certain techniques to get through that course.
But do they welcome you to the future? Where
No. I mean, it's very bare-bones presentation, to be honest. But
okay. So they haven't got the greatest intro song in the world. Okay, that's £2 I've saved.
I can't remember if there's any music, even.
Really?
I don't know.
That's a bit of a shame. If there isn't any music.
Play your own music.
Okay. So what are you doing?
No, I wasn't, but you could if you wanted to.
You weren't. You were just sitting there in silence.
You could put on your stereo.
Listening to a brum, brum.
Yeah, there's a bit of that.
There's a bit of brum.
That's when it's floating.
Boom. Does it make like a sound when you do the jet engine?
Oh, yeah, it does. And nice. It explodes if you hit anything. If you hit something with enough force, it will...
I'm just doing sound effects now, I apologise. When it explodes, does it go... Yeah. That's very similar to my jet engine, I admit. Not the most prepared Foley artist.
Not bad. Yeah. Sounds like somebody haven't sold you on the gameplay, we've definitely sold you on the sound effects.
Great.
Now it's your turn.
I was been playing some more Tesselgrad.
Sorry?
Tesselgrad?
What's it called?
I can't remember. I just sat and completed this game. And I honestly can't remember the name. Tesselgrad.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the one
right?
You talked about last week.
It is the one I talked about last week.
Why
God,
is it
I
called
thought
that?
I was going mad.
What does
then.
That mean?
You're a Tesla-mancer. Essentially, it's kind of... got this...
Oh, you're harnessing the power of electricity.
Yes, you are. You are using Nikola Tesla-esque powers to climb a tower.
Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla, yes.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Is that his sister?
Nicholas. God damn it.
Nikolai? No.
It's Nicholas, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, dear.
I thought it was Nikola Tesla. Oh, my Nikola's God. What happened to my memory?
Doesn't matter. You keep talking about the game. And
I was doing
out.
So much. I was enjoying my Foley art, these sound effects so much. Yeah. That I had to push out room to remember what a car jet engine sounded like. No, I
like a
played
Tesla
a bit of Teslagrad, and it is a very fun game. As I mentioned last week, it's got kind of gear-gated
areas.
You're
absolutely right, I apologise.
I thought it was Nikola Tesla.
I'm sorry.
I was just like, really, have I forgotten that as well?
It is Nikola Tesla.
Good,
and
okay.
And he is a man.
He is a man, yes.
With
is.
A moustache.
Wonderful moustache.
On the 10th of July, 1856.
Man who invented the internet, or at least the idea of it, don't you know?
He died at the age of 86.
Penniless and alone, unfortunately.
Really?
Much like Poe.
But
does anyways,
his game that he developed from beyond the grave...
yes.
make
you can,
up for that.
You can see the fear of the developers. They were certainly haunted by the ghost of Tesla himself, and that really comes across in the game. No, as I said last week, I was a bit afraid that it would be a short game and that a lot of the power-ups they were giving you, much in a Castlevania/Metroid-esque way, were not just to gear-gate the areas, but they were having very limited use for these magnetic puzzles
because
they were introducing.
To picture the game, it looks like something like Metroid
it
or Castlevania.
It is 100% like a Metroid or a Castlevania. It's got some blatant references to some other things. I feel like... they are trying to pay homage a little bit to the great game Heart of Darkness as well in there.
That's a good one.
In the way that your gun that you get later in the game works, or your magical staff thing.
And it's nicely animated like that game.
It's very nicely animated. The visual aesthetic of it is hand-drawn for the most part, at least it looks that way. It kind of reminds me a lot of Braid in its backgrounds, in this watercolor hall color thing it's got going on, like very subdued tones of music, and it's outstanding. Like, we were listening to a bit of The Clash earlier, me and my girlfriend, as we were kind of pottering around the apartment. And yeah, like, I put it off because I was like, well, the music in this game is so good that I kind of need the music to play it. Like, it's very nice, very melancholy.
Great. That's quite different from Jet Car Stunks.
Yes, it does have music and not just sound effects. The end boss battle was pretty difficult. Some of the boss battles, actually, in that game, the first boss battle I talked about last week on the podcast, wasn't really memorable. It was kind of like you shooting your magnetic fist thing, like you punching blocks with magnets, and then this monster would suck them up and they'd hit him in the face. And I thought that was pretty poor. But then the subsequent boss fights after that are all pretty fun. They involve you using your various powers. You start off with like a fist, so you can punch blocks and you can turn them into different positive or negative magnetic forces. Then you soon get like a dash ability that is very reminiscent of a Castlevania, where you press the square button.
Does that make a nice sound effect?
You go, whoosh, 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 and then you go back and forth. You can use that to get through gates and stuff. Actually, some of the enemy design kind of reminds me a bit of Darkness now I think about it. There's these weird black blobby things. They also kind of remind me of the Scabs from Abe's Odyssey. Kind of got that weird jaunty crawly walk thing to them, which is nice. So you do that, and you essentially, you're chased from your home at the start of the game, and you don't know why, but you end up in this tower.
Yeah, you don't know why you're platforming at that point.
And as you start going through it, through like weird little play things in the background, like little children's animations moving in the background, some wall drawings, you kind of figure out that you're a Teslamancer with these people who, essentially, from what I could gather, most of the story was they helped a king defend their realm by giving him some magical sword, and then he kind of became obsessed with power, and then it was all a bit downhill and everything became really dark and scary. But you were brought there in the wake of this huge like rebellion of the king coming back and trying to fight these wizards who's giving him power and like killing them, and you were the last of the Teslamancers and hidden away. And that's kind of revealed to you through the stories you're going on, and I'm not really spoiling anything here because that's pretty early on in the game, you learn all this stuff. And to be honest, unless you go really looking for it, you probably won't pick up the story anyways. It's just a very fun platformer. Some of the puzzles are very unique. Some of them are very challenging. And it's got that great feeling of a game where you die, but you know it's your fault. There's very, very few. I think there's one maybe puzzle in that entire game where I was like, that's just a really stupid puzzle. Like, and for 5, maybe 6 hours of gameplay, I think that's pretty good going. Like I said, some of the boss fights will stay with me for a long time. And that's always something in these games. Like, it does bring... Not necessarily, I don't really want to say it brings something new to the table, because, I mean, these magnetic puzzles and stuff, like of polarities and things, you've seen them before in games, but they use quite well here, and the power-ups you do get are quite fun, and there's little challenges to collect these little scroll parts, which are the achievements, actually, which is something I've never quite seen in a game before, is that there are no story-driven achievements. Every achievement you get is by accessing a area and collecting this little scroll. So the platinum trophy is for collecting all 36 of these scrolls throughout the thing, which kind of give you a picture, which also kind of shows you what's going on.
How many do you get?
I got 16 out of 36. Yeah. Purely because there's a bit which kind of annoys me. It kind of does a Rayman Mario thing where, even though you've gone through most of the game, it then goes like, hey, have you collected any of these scrolls? Like, right to the very end, you need to collect them to get onto the final area of the game.
Oh, no.
And it's just like, well, you haven't been telling me to collect them all the way through the game. Fortunately, I only needed, like, 2 more, and I knew where I could get to quite easily with this super gun thing you get at the end. But, yeah, all in all, it was a bit of a dampener, to be honest. It kind of annoyed me a little bit that it made me backtrack to get these things without any relevant means to the story. But it's okay. You know, the overall gameplay experience definitely isn't soured by it. And like I said, those of you looking for a challenge should really pick it up. I I paid pittance for it. Like, it was, I think it was like 40 kroner, so about £4 on the PSN.
Yeah, well worth it for that amount of gameplay.
So yeah, pick it up. Have a look. Let us know what you think at TMA Cast.
That's Tesla Grad.
Tesla Grad, yes.
Fantastic.
Fortunately, remember the name of it. But
yeah. I've been playing Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands.
Oh, really?
I picked this up the other week. I think it was after, over Christmas time, I'd bought Prince of Persia for the Mega CD.
Yes. We were talking about this on the podcast.
Yeah, it was all right. It wasn't so great. But, yeah, I'd also read a very good... I didn't write it, but I read a very good article that was on Hardcore Gaming 101 about the Prince of Persia series. And I'd read, if you hadn't played a Prince of Persia, one of the more modern 3D ones made by Ubisoft, then Forgotten Sands is probably the best of the bunch, and it's the one to play.
In this article, did it say if this was the reboot of the series?
It said it was the game that was made time with the film release.
Yes.
But I can't remember if it's a reboot, because it's kind of... It picks up where the last one left off, I think.
Okay.
Pretty much. Because the character's already established.
Yeah.
But then again, he learns about being able to rewind time, and he sounds all very surprised about that, like he's never done it before.
I think he kind of learns that in every game, though. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I don't know, like, because there's... I'm a bit muddy with Prince of Persia. To be honest, I don't really like the franchise. I much prefer Assassin's Creed. I like the kind of parkour-y physics of Prince of Persia at the time.
It's very satisfying, they're jumping around.
Yeah, yeah, and like the combat's not too bad either. I really hate this dependency on quick-time events. I don't know if this one is the same.
Any quick-time events.
But the original Prince of Persia trilogy, I don't know if this is a part of that, were very, very heavy with quick-time events. So much so to the point where I just turned the second one off.
Okay, thankfully this one's not got any. So far, at least. And I've played it for a good couple of hours. I didn't want to put it down, actually. Yep. I was finding a time where I could quit and I was finding the last checkpoint I could quit at. Anyway, I was thinking when I bought it, I think I mentioned this last week, that it was the reboot Prince of Persia, because there was a reboot. Yeah, that was that
yeah,
one.
There is. Yeah, there's the one where he's got that emo headscarf thing on.
Yeah, that one. I thought it was that one.
I have that one. I got it on my PS3. I've never played it because I hate Prince of Persia.
And I thought, oh, that looks different enough to give a go. It turned out it was Forgotten Sands, which, you know, having read the article, I should have known that this was probably the one to go for anyway.
Yeah.
And it's it looks lovely. I mean, this is a later Xbox 360 game, isn't it? And the thing that struck me at the beginning was it didn't feel... I've been playing a lot of Bayonetta recently. It doesn't feel as smooth as Bayonetta.
No, it doesn't. And to Bayonetta's credit, not a lot of games do.
Yeah. Or something like Infamous, which I was chatting to Matt about earlier, that was a game I thought, wow, they've nailed this smooth movement and ease of jumping around. And
I really think if you go back to that might have changed.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay, well, at the time, I thought that was very good. But when you get into the game and you learn the platforming mechanics, the wall running and pole swinging and curtain ripping, and that's when you can slide down, go from quite a tall height and use your sword to slice through a banner. And
fortunately, there are a lot of banners like just to do this.
And a lot of switches that are on walls.
Interesting.
There's a funny bit where he meets up with his brother, and his brother says, oh, you've got to open the gate for us. Yeah. You just have to hit all those switches that are on the walls around here. And it's just the oddest thing for the dialogue of a game, which is very story-driven, very cinematic. And then he talks about a very game-like mechanism.
Yeah.
In the middle of all this. Because you have to wonder why they plonk these switches on the walls where no one can get to them apart from if you...
You may as well just say, I guess they were maybe trying to be a bit cheeky with it. But I don't know. I don't know if Ubisoft are self-aware enough. Because, I mean, like, I always used to laugh when I played Metal Gear.
Yeah.
And he'd just be like, I think our codec number's on the back of the CD case. But that was because games hadn't done shit like that at the time.
Yeah.
He may as well have told you, like, hey, you have to crawl under there. Press B to crouch. In a cutscene, I guess. Then, hey, all those switches are on a wall.
But it's a game that makes you feel quite clever when you work out. Because each kind of jumping platforming section is a little bit of a puzzle to piece together. you know, sometimes it's more straightforward than others, but sometimes you really have to think about where you're jumping to and how you're going to actually get to the next platform. What technique will you have to use to get over there? And as you play it more, it becomes a little bit more natural.
Yeah.
And you learn the game. And like I said, my phrase isn't just like, you learn the game. And
you learn the game.
And it all flows from there.
That's so weird, Tom. I can't believe like it's taken you this long to like figure this out. They're like, when you constantly...
I never play games for long enough.
No, you don't. And it just baffles me. Like,
this one's really good. It's very, the progression in it is very smooth. And
yes.
There isn't a moment where it kind of throws something really hard in your face and you can't do it, so far at least. Very smooth progression. The fighting's cool.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before, you have a regular attack. You have an attack. A charged attack. You have an attack which knocks back the opponent.
Yeah.
And then you can press your regular attack when they're on the ground to finish them off. You can also jump and then flash down on them.
There are very cinematic like finishers in that game.
That's right.
Right.
People, you can throw people off the sides of buildings or bash people into walls. It does all feel, it actually feels a little bit like Batman as well, Batman Arkham, Asylum City, where you kind of get a glint of their weapon when they're going to hit you, so you can use the roll button to roll away. That roll button also comes in handy when you've hit a switch and door's going to close, you need to roll underneath it. So all in all, gameplay-wise, I think it's really fun, really good game with great combat and great platforming mechanics.
How does the combat compare to something like, say, a God of War? I'm not really that familiar with the God of War series, but...
Well, it's a little bit more straightforward.
Because I remember there being a lot of cinematic deaths in there, from what I remember, right? Like, there's a...
Yeah, they involve quick time events.
Oh, really? Yeah,
God of
course,
War, usually.
Yeah.
I say this is simpler, actually, that there is a depth to the combat system in Prince of Persia. And God of War, mostly, from what I remember, it's been a long time since I played it, was a lot of just mashing a button.
Yeah. Okay.
To beat enemies. But you had special weapons, and as you went on, and you had to use them on certain enemies and things.
I really should go back and play God of War. I really played it.
I played the first one.
Yeah,
quite a lot.
I honestly played
the beginning of the third one and I was very impressed because it was one of the best looking games I'd ever seen at the time.
Yeah.
Mm. Going back to Prince of Persia, though, just briefly, I'd say what's interesting about it is he's British and so is his brother.
Okay. I think he's always been British, though, from what I remember.
I think maybe he has. But it seems odd to me.
It's weird because he's Persian. Yeah.
He doesn't look very Persian either, I don't think.
No.
Slightly.
Well, it's probably like, you know, like Nolan North or whatever, like whoever is the voice actor of the Prince of Persia guy, was probably a very prominent voice actor at the time, so they just got that guy in.
Maybe. But it's all good. It's all good. Prince of Persia, Forgotten Sands. To quote Heart of Gaming 101, if you've never played a Prince of Persia game before and you're not bored to death with the what sounds like it's the same sort of thing every time, then this is the one to get, I think. Because I played a bit of the first Prince of Persia, and well, I like that.
Yeah.
This looks a lot nicer. Even though that did have its own aesthetic, which was a little bit like a DreamWorks film, like Prince of Egypt or something like that. And it was all very dreamy and... soft focus. But this one's pretty gritty and very nice graphics. Depends
did
what
you
you're
not,
after, really.
Did you not also play a Prince of Persia classic? Did you not say
you that was it,
download code for that?
I played a little bit of that, but everyone knows original Prince of Persia and what that. I don't need to explain that one. But it was very nice to find out that the previous owner's game hadn't used that download code.
It's always nice.
Yeah. It was a special edition, though.
It was in a very nice tin box.
But the problem is, when I think it was in a bigger box, it doesn't actually say the title of the game on the side of the case.
Probably have none of those little slipcase things over it, you know, the little plastic sleeves.
Oh, it probably did, didn't it? I don't have that. It's also missing a second disc, which I don't know what's on the second disc.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's weird that someone chose to keep what probably is a making of.
Well, perhaps they didn't. Maybe they just had the first disc. Maybe they didn't even bother with the second disc and then they couldn't find the case.
Ah, maybe. But that's what I've been playing. And of course, rewinding time is a factor of Prince of Persia, which makes progression very smooth, but you can only do it a certain amount of times, of course.
Okay. Have you got like a meter for it?
Yeah, you've got like a magic meter. You've got several little
blobs.
You're very illustrative today, yeah. Yes. It's you've just like drawn like a big thing of peas, like yeah, peas in a pod. Peas.
It's like Bayonetta's magic meat, you know. Oh, okay. Those little circular blobs. And then...
Well, this would be great if we recorded it, because then the audience can see exactly what you're talking about. But as it is, I could just say you just drew a big load of dicks, and they'd have to believe me again.
I can do that.
No, don't, please. Anyways, I've also, funnily enough, been playing a game that involves some time.
Ah, you see, if I'd have done that better, this would have travelled a lot smoother. And now I've ruined it by saying this.
Let's press R1 and record time backwards. No, I've been playing a game
where you can rewind time.
Where you can rewind time.
What's it called? Rewind Time.
Yeah, Rewind Time, the musical. It's a lot of quick time events. You rewind time. Great, family fun. No, it's called Life is Strange, which we mentioned on the last podcast. It's by Don't Nod Studios, the guys who did Remember Me, which also had a time shifting mechanic in it. And Tom just did a little buggy again. I was shaking my hands trying to get my words out. I was trying to conjure the sentence.
Sorry.
And yeah, this game's nice. It's episodic, which is something I didn't really realise last week when he talked about it. And essentially, it's got a bit of a butterfly effect thing going on, in that this girl finds out she can rewind time, and you can kind of use that to your advantage. Not only in... It's kind of like a mashup, I would say, of something like A Heavy Rain and a Telltale game, such as like Walking Dead. It's got very clear, like, you're walking around interacting with the scenery and the character will tell you what he thinks of an object, and there doesn't really seem to be any action as of yet. When it is, I imagine it'll be...
A modern point-click adventure type.
Yeah, kind of. It's definitely in the Telltale vein. You wander around, you talk to people, you gauge conversations, you then build friendships and relationships with these characters. And you can rewind time and change your choices if you want, or you can use that as a puzzle solving aspect in regards to, like, someone asks you something and then you don't know the answer, so you talk to them and they tell you the answer, so you rewind time and then you give them the correct answer and the story can progress. And then the story can progress. Or you can use it in such ways, like I had to, in a short time, stop someone from doing something, so I had to rewind time, tamper with an object beforehand. Yeah, and then, yeah, once I'd rewound time and tampered with this object, then that person moved out of my way and I could do some other stuff, which is kind of nice. It doesn't seem very long, to be honest. I just looked at a playthrough of it just to gauge a time factor. I'm about halfway through, but it's about 2 hours long, 3 hours long, maybe.
And do you know how many planned...
Planned episodes of the moment, I believe, are 5, or at least that's what's in the first season pass. So I didn't purchase the season pass purely because money is tight at the moment. I opted for the first episode because I was like, well, I could buy the season pass of this, or I could buy Grim Fandango. And in the end, I kind of talked myself out of both and just bought the first episode because I have a whole backlog I need to get through this month.
Later, I assume when all episodes are out, they might release it a physical copy.
Perhaps, yeah. Maybe, well, they do with Telltale games.
They do with some, don't they? I don't think Jurassic Park ever got a retail release.
I don't think it did. I don't think
but Back to the Future did.
Back to the Future did. Sam and Max did, yeah. At least the first season. They released Wolf Among Us is on a disc now. Both seasons of The Walking Dead are available. What's the other Telltale game? Telltale did something else, right? Or is it the Borderlands game I'm thinking of? I believe that's going to get a disc release as well. So... it'll be interesting to see how this story pans out. It's published by Square Enix, but like I said, it's by Don't Nod. I was a bit off-put at the start of it by the dialogue because they talk like teenagers and it's really annoying. I'm like, really? Do teenagers sound like this? Or you've just written this yourself thinking you know what teenagers sound like?
Especially when they narrate.
Oh, God, that really annoyed me. Someone said cool kids in the narration. And then in the subtitle, Cool Kids was spelled with
a K
on cool and a Z at the end of kids. I don't know if I'm just getting old, but it really annoyed me. And
really annoyed me too.
But then like there was one bit of the classroom at the start where like for some reason you just take a selfie like you're literally learning in a photography class, your character Max, who is a girl with kind of social anxiety from the looks of things at the offset, she has a camera and she has this old Polaroid camera, and she opens the camera and she takes a selfie of herself, and then the teacher starts talking about selfies as if we don't know what selfies are. And I was
What's
like, really? Why is this a part of it other than the fact that they could make a go fuck yourselfie joke later on, which they did twice. There was two like selfie references, and I was like, really? Do you really put that action in here to not only show you were cool and down with the kids, but so you could make selfie jokes?
From what I saw of it, it was all about this girl who'd gone missing, and she was trying to work out why she'd gone missing.
Well, she doesn't... You're not even on the part of this. There's a load of missing posters around the campus for this girl called Amber Jones. I want to say her name is. I can't quite remember. And she's gone missing, but everyone loved her, and she's like girl from Twin Peaks.
Laura Palmer.
It's also got a very Alan Wake vibe at the start of it, in that you wake up in a forest, and there's a big lighthouse... And the lighthouse is shining a light as you're walking up the forest towards it in the dark. And then there's a big vortex thing of like a big tornado kind of sucking the world up, which looked a bit weird. So life might be strange, but we'll find out, I guess.
But you weren't very happy with the visuals, but I looked at it and thought it was very nice.
Well, I found out that it's also available on PS3 and Xbox 360, which probably counts for it. But as a PS4 release, I was kind of expecting it to have a little bit more polish, especially when you see what Don't Nod did with Remember Me, which to my eyes is still probably one of the best looking games of the last generation, especially in terms of like the world aesthetics and stuff. And they are definitely present here. It does look like a high school that's been lived in. Like, there's loads of like posters for no reasons all over the walls, and it doesn't really anything repeat other than the missing posters, obviously. And yeah, it's not too bad. Like, I've kind of got used to it, but when I put it on the first time, I was like, wow, this is really off to me. It looked a bit ropey, like some of the hair texturing and stuff just looks like the wig's been like slapped on top of someone's head.
Take that Photoshop style of illustration.
Yes, it does.
And paste it onto the 3D models of the characters.
Yeah, it does.
Which it seems like an aesthetic choice.
Yeah, but I mean...
And also probably a quicker choice than doing it any another way.
I would say so. Obviously, like, the hair isn't modelled very well, but I guess the whole point of this game isn't really to be visual. I mean, like, I can enjoy a point-and-click adventure in the likes of an original Grim Fandango, which was just polygons, or something like Maniac Mansion, which is obviously pixels. So that's not really the main focus. It did kind of offset me a little bit when I started. I was like, wow, this looks a bit ropey, but you just kind of get used to the aesthetic, I think. And the story's not too bad at the moment. I don't really know what's going on yet, but it seems okay once you get past the teenage nonsense.
Yeah, that would maybe put me off.
I'll see. I'm enjoying it so far anyway, but I kind of like this kind of game, so we'll see how it goes. But yeah, at the moment, I'm probably only going to buy the first episode, unless something completely mind-blowing happens at the end of it, which is what I did with Walking Dead. Even though I really enjoyed Walking Dead, I only played the first episode because I couldn't be asked to play the rest. Anything else on your thing? I can see you looking there at something related to Dead or Alive.
Yes, this is a game that's coming out maybe next
last
month.
Round, right?
That kind of just irritated me because I'm not buying it. I like to buy all the Dead or Alive games because I enjoy them. And I bought both Dead or Alive 5 and Dead or Alive Ultimate.
Yes.
You know, Ultimate, yeah, it's very good. It's a nice upgrade of 5. But the fact that there's going to be another one now, I just don't know if I can be bothered to buy it.
If it's on PS4, I'll buy it because I didn't buy the PS3 version because you
had it.
It's
on PS4. It's only released as a physical copy on PS4 and Xbox One. It's
well, I'm going to get it on PS4 then.
Yeah, maybe like it will look slightly nicer. It's going to be £35.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Not bad, is it? £25 on the other formats, £35 on the next-gen formats.
I'm sure, though, if you have Dead or Alive Ultimate, there'll probably be like a download for it for like a fiver or something. It must be. There is with Street Fighter.
Well, it's also it says you can use your downloadable content from Dead or Alive Ultimate on... regardless of if you'd started on PS3 and upgraded to PS4, you can still use the same content.
I'm sure there must be a way for you to upgrade, though. There must be. Mm.
Maybe. I've been playing another fighting game this week.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. I've been playing Dragon Ball Z 4 Connect, the most imaginatively titled game. And I have to say, this was what I expected. You know, I expected nothing more than what was delivered in this game, and that was the ability to fight from a first-person perspective.
As Goku.
Playing through the story at the moment. I was doing the Raditz fight at the beginning of the Saiyan saga, and it was kind of cool. And I went through the tutorial, first of all, to get used to all the different actions that you can do.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's rather accurate. You know, that there were no issues in it registering what I was doing, other than the fact that the room was maybe a bit too small.
I think that's a problem in most Kinect games. I remember playing Fruit Ninja, and I literally had to stand like the other end of my living room.
I had to jump on top of the sofa to get the game to register that I was powering up. Now, to power up in this game, you have to kind of squat down and put your fists by your hips.
Anyone who's seen Dragon Ball Z will... No,
you don't have to make
about.
A noise while you do it.
I honestly think the microphone in the Kinect is probably helping you power up more if you go...
Should do that next time. But you can really get into it. And I think for Dragon Ball Z fans, this is quite a fun experience. Although it's been universally panned and given quite average reviews
probably
based on the
it's
fact...
it's a Kinect game.
It's a Kinect game and there is only... It's like a mini game, basically.
Yeah.
There's not much to it. It's an arcade game. It's an arcade experience in the home, like most Kinect games are.
Yeah.
If you can get it reasonably priced, I got it for 99 kroner, which is close to 10 British pounds. I wasn't disappointed with it, to be honest. And actually, well, you could maybe, I don't know if you can maybe win fights by just punching. I was trying to do the different moves as well, and that was working out for me rather well.
I saw you do a Kamehameha.
I did a Kamehameha. You can also bat back the projectile thrown at you by swiping your arm. You can dodge and duck attacks by moving your body. You have to jump in some instances.
Yeah.
And it's a good workout, actually. I felt pretty energized after playing it.
That's because you powered up, Tom.
Yeah, and it looks nice as well. It looks very much like the animated series.
Yeah.
So I can't fault it on its visuals.
It's weird, you were powering up and my Saiyan detector on my eye blew up because your power level was just too much for it to handle.
Yeah, why you got one of them?
No, I wish.
Google Glass.
What are they called? What are they called? I can't remember. It's been so long since I've seen Dragon Ball Z.
Scouter?
Isn't it?
Is this? No.
Yeah, it is like a scouter, right?
Is it something like that?
Something like
that. They're a cool idea.
It's like a shell with a Google Glass lens coming off it. They clip over your ear.
Yeah. But I like it. And it is what it is. It's nothing... It's pretty revolutionary, actually, I'd say. You know, a first-person fighting game, is that accurate? Maybe that Fighters Uncaged is similar. That wasn't very well received either at the time, if I remember.
I say this to you in the nicest possible way. This game is essentially Punch-Out, but with a Kinect.
It is, isn't it? That would be quite fun to play, wouldn't it?
You just do it with a Wiimote, though.
Yeah. You could do it with a Wiimote. But the range of moves it detects, obviously, each individual limb kicking from left and right, and it happens on screen as you do it in real time.
It looks hilarious to watch in real life in
I'm
real
sure it
time.
Is. It'd be good to film a video of...
I made a cup of tea for Tom as he was jumping about on the sofa doing it, because he had to stand there so he could squat to power up.
Yeah.
And I just had to put the cup of tea out of the way, because I was just like, you're going to kick this cup of tea right into the screen.
Probably would have done that. Got very into it, actually.
Yeah.
And it was easy to start, which was my problem last week, in fact that I couldn't get the game to start. I think I may have mentioned on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I said to Matt, oh, Matt, come in here and help me get this game to start. I couldn't do it. Basically, what you have to do is raise your hand.
Yeah.
And I was doing that, but it wouldn't work last time for some reason.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's very accurate, I'd say.
Okay.
Worth the punt?
Yeah, maybe. I don't think I would.
If you're open-minded enough to try that sort of thing.
The only Kinect game I've ever played
very
and enjoyed...
The most physical game I've ever played, by the way.
It's Fruit Ninja.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, I think.
Have you played the dancing game? Dance Central?
Yes, I
have. I've got Dance Central 3, I think.
But I danced like Steve Martin in The Jerk, so I couldn't really enjoy it.
It was rather difficult to do. This game I found... I was having more success with.
Yeah? Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Well, you know, you're punching, you're kicking.
Yeah.
Anyone can really do those things.
Yeah.
So you don't need no rhythm.
And I gotta be Goku.
I'll be Piccolo.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Have you been playing anything else? My week has actually been quite sparse.
The usual Bayonetta, Soul Calibur, Worms.
Yeah. I haven't actually been able to pick up Danganronpa this week. I haven't had a chance.
No.
Danganronpa even. No, I just haven't had the moment to sit down and engage in a visual novel, which is a bit sad. I'm really enjoying that game. But Tessagrad's out of the way. Pretty much February for me now, I think we'll be clearing a lot of games I've started out of the way.
Mm.
Especially completing some PS3 games before the end of the month, because then I want to access the console for a while. So I shall try my hardest to get as many of those done that I've bought over the last couple of months. Obviously not JRPGs, because that'd be stupid. I'm not going to do that. But yeah.
You have no intention of getting one?
I possibly will, if the price is right.
But you seem to be very much focused on your PS4 at the moment.
I'm not really... This is the thing. Like, I'm not really that focused on the PS4, purely because there aren't any retail games that really interest me. Like, most of the games I'm playing on the PS4 at the moment, which are Citizens of Earth, which I've delved some more into, which I'll talk about in a moment. Tessagrad, I've been playing. There's a few others on there that I want to get. Like I said, Grim Fandango, I wouldn't mind picking up. And this Life is Strange is now also on the PS4. But they are also available, exception of Grim Fandango. I do have a PC version, but it's pretty unplayable by today's standards. Available on other consoles, like Citizens of Earth is on the 3DS. I would have got it there if I had the option.
Grim Fandango's on the Vita.
Played it. Grim Fandango's on the Vita, you say? Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know if it's cross-buy, but...
Probably not. Citizens of Earth wasn't, which kind of annoys me a little bit. It would have been perfect for cross-save, but never mind. Like I said, Life is Strange is on everything. You told me that Tessagrad was on the Wii U, which I replied, God damn it, if I would have known, I realised it was on the Wii U, I would have bought it on there.
And you said the same about Citizens of Earth, I think.
Yeah, but that's the same, like 3DS as well. Yeah. Like, I would have got it on there. I didn't realise it was released on the handheld. That would have been perfect, because you could just walk around with it. But what can you do? Like, this is the thing. Like, there's not that many retail releases. If I hadn't invested so much in it already, if I hadn't bought a few games, I'd probably sell it for the time being. I don't think there's anything out in the next couple of months even that I really want to play on the PS4. At least not yet. Final Fantasy will eventually be out at some point. I'll want to play that. Probably it.
I think it's worthwhile to keep hold of it for the future.
Yeah, also, actually, no, I tell a lie, Metal Gear is also out this year. But I assume, as Ground Zeroes was on everything, that Phantom Pain will probably be on everything as well.
Do you think?
I don't know. Interesting to see, actually.
Tekken 7 won't be.
No.
I don't think. I'm hoping it is, but I have a feeling it won't be.
I wouldn't mind Tekken 7. Yeah. Like, I'm not really the biggest Tekken fan, so I probably won't pick it up unless I see it cheap. Like, I meant to pick up Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on the Wii U, and I never ended up getting it.
You can download it for, like, £5 or something.
Yeah, well, I've seen physical copies for around that. Like, I wouldn't mind having it physically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyways, this month I'm going to play through some of the back catalogue. Obviously, doing the boy graphic videos as well takes up a lot of my gaming time these days.
Yeah.
But completely Tessagrad, I'm going to keep playing through Citizens of Earth just because I'm quite enjoying it.
And it's got a lovely soundtrack. It's quite relaxing.
It does have a lovely soundtrack. It's very reminiscent of Earthbound. It's just a nice game. Like, I talked about it last week and my feelings are kind of the same. It's interesting in it's got kind of a Sikoden kind of, hey, there are multiple characters for you to collect by doing certain tasks and you can get a load of citizens to join you. What kind of annoys me about it is, though, they don't have a party sharing XP function, so you have to individually level every character. And there's incentive to do so, because when you level, say, the baker, then you can buy more health items from the shop, because the characters have their regular XP, but for every battle they're a part of, they also get job XP, which means that you level their skills, so they're more useful to you as a character. Like, your brother works for a company called FedUps, it's like FedEx. And by having him in your party and leveling him up, not only is he a strong guy, but you get the ability to order items wherever you are on the world map. I've got also a conspiracy theory guy, because the characters are just like oddball, like stereotype characters. Like, I have a barista, a cook, a teacher, a cop, and all this kind of stuff. But that conspiracy guy then has the ability to use special attacks that other people don't have. And the flavor text is also very nice. Like, there's an attack he has to confuse people, and the flavor text to say, like, conspiracy guy used this confusion attack. is conspiracy guy revealed a haunting government secret and this kind of stuff. And like, your mum shouts at people and hurts them, and it says like, your mum gave so-and-so a scolding. And yeah, it's kind of interesting. Fun. It's nice. It's fun. It doesn't take itself too seriously. And so I'm looking forward to playing a bit more of it. I've heard it's like 40, 50 hours, and I don't know how much time I can really spend with it. Cause,
that's too much.
I've done four. And
that's too much.
I'm kind
Can't you going to get bored after?
I don't know. It's See,
that
this
long?
Is the
it's
thing.
Got to have a really good story if it's going to keep you playing for that.
Yeah,
long.
And I don't know, even though there's like nice humor and stuff in it, I don't think it's kind of got the same weird charm as Earthbound did. No matter how reminiscent of it the story is and how kind of the tone is kind of similar, it's just not got this weird aspect that the rest of them has.
See, that's the thing, that Earthbound... Is it Japanese?
Yes, Earthbound is
Yeah, that's Japanese,
Japanese,
but this is made by US.
Yes, it is. It's published by Atlas USA. And I don't know, like, it's so odd that it's got all the things in place for it to be an Earthbound-like game, and it does certainly feel like Earthbound, not only in the isometric view, the fact you're walking around a town that looks very similar, like, the tone of the character art kind of probably would be what Earthbound looked like today, perhaps a bit more rounded and cutesy than the kind of 1950s, 60s illustrative style. It's kind of like Vault Boy. It kind of reminds me of in Fallout, the style of the illustration in the game. And I don't know, it's just, it's very self-aware and it doesn't take itself too seriously, which is a good thing. But like, Earthbound is something else. Like, I honestly feel very strongly about that game, and I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. Mm. And there's just something about it, something about the tone, something about how it's kind of like an outsider looking in at American culture and what that then makes the game be like, and just kind of the stupid little things that the characters say that are self-referencing, of just like one of the game's staff being in there and going like, hey, I made Earthbound, isn't that cool? And pretty much just say like, no. And he's just like, oh, well, now you've hurt my feelings and this kind of stuff. It's a very strange game. I really want to play Mother 3. I've been thinking about getting a cart, one of the repo carts with the English translation on.
That would be fun.
But
is that expensive?
I've seen them for about £30, so it isn't too bad. And that's with a nice reproduction box and all this kind of stuff as well. So maybe I will, but at the same time, I'm just like, well, I'm not really desperate for games to play, so I'll see what I get up to in the next week. I'm sure you'll find out on next week's podcast.
Do you want to hear what is coming out soon?
I would love to, Thomas.
New releases! Courtesy of Eurogamer.net. Well, we revealed our secret. 4th February, Grow Home for the PC. Know nothing about this game.
Interesting title.
Not to be confused with Go Home, which is an entirely different game.
Go Home, Roger.
10th of February brings us Evolve on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Now, Evolve, is that a game you're excited about, Matthew?
Evolve sounds like a fun game.
It's made by Valve? Is it Valve? No, it's not Valve.
It's not Valve. I believe it's EA.
I thought it was the Left 4 Dead people that
did it. There's two games out that are very similar, and I can't remember if it's Evolve.
I thought Valve did Left 4 Dead.
Valve did do Left 4 Dead, but I can't remember if it's Evolve or the other one that's kind of similar to Evolve that is made by the Left 4 Dead people. I've not really kept up on it. It's a bit of a shame, but I am looking forward to Evolve. The concept of you being one person against four people seems very intriguing to me, how that works.
So, could be a good one. Well, I guess we'll have to wait for review scores to come in on that. On Mechanical, a game we mentioned last week about the Fly Robot game.
Yes.
I think it was just down as Xbox One, but we all knew it was coming out on PS4 and PS3 as well, and that's what's happening on the 11th of February. 13th of February brings us Lucius 2 The Prophecy on PC, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate for the 3DS, and Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D on the 3DS.
Which I'm hoping to get for my Valentine's Day present.
It's perfectly timed on the 13th. The Order 1886, a much lauded PS4 game, is released on the 19th of February.
I'm really not that interested in that game.
They've been pushing this for a while.
It's really like they're pushing it because they have nothing else to push. It looks like Gears of War.
And then after that, on the 20th of February, we've got the aforementioned Dead or Alive 5 Last Round.
Yes. There's something else out on the 20th of February, I'm pretty sure.
I'm unaware of it, if there is.
Interesting.
There came an Echo for PC on 24th February.
No, there was a PS4 game, I was pretty sure. I can't remember what it is. That's a shame. There's something out on the 20th, something good from what I remember. It may only be a Steam release or something, okay. That's maybe why it's not on there. There's something out on the 20th that I really want to play. Also, it's the fourth wave of Amiibos, so I will be spending money on Mega Mans. Mega Mans for days.
If you want to play Oddworld Noontaste on your Mac, you can do that on the 25th of February.
Great.
Mac and PC. Homeworld Remastered Collection for PC. Resident Evil Revelations 2 will be released again on 25th.
Episode of content.
Oh, yeah. That's right, isn't it?
Episode of content.
For all formats, or that's not the Wii U or the Vita or the 3DS.
Irony.
27th February, Dragon Ball Xenoverse. This new Dragon Ball Z game.
The fuck?
It's released on Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, PC...
Is it an online RPG of Dragon Ball? I might be interested if
it is. Xenoverse. You want me to just have a little look what it is? I can do that with the magic of the internet.
Dragon, dragon, rock the dragon, Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
No articles found, sorry.
Damn it, okay.
Dragon Ball Xenoverse.
If you know anything about Dragon Ball Xenoverse, let us know on Twitter, my cast.
My guess is it's just another one-on-one Dragon Ball Z fighting game.
God, I hope it's an MMO.
Not as revolutionary.
I think we would have heard something about that, though, by now.
Dragon Ball Z for Kinect. Dying Light's going to get released on Xbox One and PS4 and PC.
Which is interesting, because I'm pretty sure it's out in the States already.
Ah. Dynasty Warriors, Empires.
Yes, that was the game I was looking for.
That's getting released on PS3, Xbox One, PS4. No, Xbox 360, though.
No Wii U?
No Wii U either.
Come on.
Interesting. They've got Zelda, so maybe that's why they haven't released Dynasty Warriors 8. And yeah, that's it for the moment. Excited about any of them? Apart from Evolve, maybe? Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse?
Legend
get it on your
of
PS4.
Zelda Majora's Mask? That Majora's game I've Mask. Already played.
And Dead or Alive, you might purchase.
I may pick up Dead or Alive, but I don't think I will pick it up at launch.
No. When it's in the bargain bin.
Maybe in a month or two. I do like Dead or Alive, but I don't know. Like,
probably wouldn't play it that much.
I don't think I would. And
on your own?
No, not on my own. So,
no.
Yeah.
It's a multiplayer game. Although they can try and unlock the costumes and the characters and play through the story mode.
Yes, I could play through the story mode, Smithers. You sounded like Mr. Burns.
And
he said,
you could play
mode.
Through the story mode if you'd like.
Yeah, I love that, sir.
Yeah, so do I.
Oh, that's Homer Simpson, sir. He's been with us for 3 years.
Oh, I've never heard of him. And that was Tom at Attack.
It was. Sorry, yeah, this has been a bit of a ramshackle episode by usual standards. But if you...
What makes you say that?
I don't know. Purely because I tripped over my words the first 30 minutes of this podcast. Couldn't remember the name of a game I played
well,
for like
you
6 hours
today. You got the name
of
Nikola Tesla,
I did get
right.
Nikola Tesla right. And if you would like to congratulate me on getting Nikola Tesla right, you can do so at our Facebook page, facebook.com/TellMattAttack. You can let us know on the pre-forementioned Twitter at TMAcast. Or you can go to iTunes, write a review and go like, I like this podcast, it's really good. Matthew can't remember the name of fucking games though. You can put that on iTunes, I'm sure that will go through Apple sensors. And while you're there, give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. You can also find us on blastprocess.com and our own website, TomMattAttack.com.
Blastprocess.com will be turning, I think, older.
Older.
It's his birthday.
Unfortunately, as time ticks on, we all get older. And that's something to bear in mind until next week, folks. Yeah. Until then, game on.
Game on.